the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. You will be familiar with this great chapter, which has to do with what we may call a communion, or the Lord's Supper, or Lord's Table, or Eucharist, or whatever, I don't know, what your backgrounds may be. There come different words, and they all have some significance. But this is the chapter that deals with, shall we say, the communion. And we often used to sing that great hymn that we've been singing at the communion table when certain of us used to gather together. One of the things that perhaps we may not deeply and really have understood is of this phrase that comes in this section, 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I want to ask you this morning whether you do deserve the Lord's body. Whether you discern the great truth that's in the Scripture concerning the Lord's body. I don't want to particularly deal with it from the angle that it is generally talked about today as body truth, body ministry, body this, body that. I had a friend who at one time in his life was very taken up with ministering along these lines, and one day he came to me and he said, "Do you know the Lord's been speaking to me?" And I said, "Has he, brother?" And he said, "Yes." "And do you know what he said?" I said, "No." He said to me, "You're to stop ministering the church. Minister Christ." That's right. Watch it. For this talk about body ministry is very popular in our day. You're not to minister body truth. You're to minister Christ. Christ ministered by us, says Paul writing to these same Corinthians. That's what and who you're to minister. Understand it. And understand it well. And I would love to think that if there be any secret about any kind of ministry that I may have some portion in, I would love to think it's because I've ministered Christ in the Spirit, by the Spirit, unto the Spirit of man. Hallelujah. And this then, beloved, is a subtle snare that we must save our feet from getting entrapped in. Nevertheless, I want this morning, for this next hour or so be comfortable, to look with you into these great scriptures of truth concerning the body of Jesus Christ. Let's go back, shall we, into Mark's Gospel. You may remember that yesterday morning we took a progressive look through Scripture on the great theme of worship. And of course we're going to start well grounded right back in the Gospels that tell us the story of the coming of God into and in a body of flesh and blood just like we have. And in Mark's Gospel, we're here in the 14th chapter, and in this great chapter we read this story, verse 3, that being in Bethany, as in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. What a tremendous truth is here, beloved. There was a time when the Lord was anointed, as we know in Jordan, by the Spirit. And with the anointing upon him, he went out onto a great public ministerial life. And he performed all his glorious miracles. He preached all his wonderful messages. He went hither and thither. He chose his disciples. We know the whole glorious record of his life. But here now, that's all behind him. Now he's being anointed for death. He's being anointed now, his body having this glorious ointment poured upon him for the burial. Praise God. Listen, beloved, this woman forestalled Joseph and Nicodemus. They came with spices, and they anointed that body when it was dead. But she anointed it when it was alive. And, what a tremendous and glorious truth lies here, beloved, that our Lord Jesus Christ's body was anointed unto this precious, precious way now that he was going to walk in. In fact, he was being it, and he was moving on in the will of God unto something so great and tremendous that we need to understand. And if you go down this chapter, you will get in verse 22, the Lord now, they've come together, and he said, as they did eat, take, eat, this is my body. Now, in the logic of the revelation concerning the body, in the progression of spiritual truth, Jesus is really saying, you can only eat my body after I've been buried. For first it was anointed for burial, you see, in the type and in the figure. And it's like the risen Christ. And he's saying to them, now take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Bless the name of the Lord. It's the one who's been slain, it's the one who's died, it's the one who's buried, it's the one who's alive, it's the one who's sitting in the upper room, it's the one who's saying, now come on, all gather in, eat, my body's broken for you. course they never understood it. We have eyes to understand. You will remember that at this same occasion in John 13, all sorts of things took place that no one understood. When he girded himself with the towel and took the bowl of water and knelt at the feet of all the disciples, and he washed their feet after his altercation with Peter. And when they wanted to know what it was all about, he said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Amen. That's the truth, you see. All mystery in this upper room. Glory be to God. We remember from last evening how wonderful are the mysteries into which we are brought in the Spirit. Broke the bread. Take it. Eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Praise Him. And in John chapter 20, this great 20th chapter of John, you know, I can remember days on past occasions when automatically at Easter time I used to turn to John 20. I suppose it would be John's account of everything, but there it is. I just can't help it. I seem to have great fellowship with him in spirit. Amen. Because you know he's not dead, don't you? God isn't the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And I have fellowship with John. He's one of the spirits of the just men made perfect that I have fellowship with in New Jerusalem. If you don't understand that, come and talk to me about it afterwards. But here's the tremendous truth. In the 20th chapter, we have the story of the resurrection. And where shall we read? Verse 10. The disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white, sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. You know, beloved, I always like to think that there's ever so many ways of sitting. You see, I can sit on this table like this, you see, but I could also sit on the table like that, and I could be at the head of Jesus, and another angel could be at the top sitting the same way, at the feet, and Jesus would have been laid in the laps of the angels, and not on the cold, hard stone. That's where they sat. And in between them lay the coiled grave clothes, and at one end, the napkin. Glory of God. That's where they sat. That's where the body of Jesus is laid. It had been anointed under this burial. Praise God. Poor Mary. Why, it was yesterday morning that the Lord spoke to us about Mary Magdalene, too, if my memory comes right. Because someone quoted it. The Lord moved in interpretation of the scripture that was quoted. And she came, and you know, she said to this supposed gardener, she said, "If you bore him away," she said, "tell me where you laid him. I'll take him away." She wanted the body of Jesus. She didn't understand. You remember, beloved, also, that we're told quite clearly in the scriptures how that Joseph of Arimathea, it says that they came to Pilate in verse 38 of the preceding chapter. Joseph of Arimathea, 38 of John 19. a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Verse 40, they took the body of Jesus, and Mary thought, I'll take the body of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And he said, yes, Mary, but you've got to take it in a different way from what you think. You can have it, but you can't carry me around. Wait a minute. It's all unfolding. It'll all come clear as we go on. This is the great and marvelous truth that God wants us to understand about the body. You've got to discern it. And you've got to know which way you're moving in this marvelous truth. Romans 6. What a wonderful thing we learn. And in the 6th chapter of Romans, you're told this in verse 6, that you're to know this deep in, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What a tremendous thing happened to that body, my beloved brothers and sisters. When it was nailed on that cross, that body became the body of sin. That body, as it hung there, was made sin for us. Let your eye look at it. Let your inward spiritual eye behold it. That body, we're told, that God calls to meet on him the iniquity of us all. Quoting from Isaiah 53:9. And then if you turn on to 1 Peter 2 and 24, if you don't want to do it, just make a note of it. And let's quote it. It says that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And that body was made a body of sin. That's why it was sacrificed, like the bodies of animals of old, for sin. Praise God. And that's the great truth, beloved. But it was also the body, if we may look at it now spiritually, it was the body of our old man. That new man, the only man that could, went to that cross and allowed it to be that it was the body of the old man, the spiritual old man, if you like, that was slain there, nailed there, crucified there. Hallelujah. There he is on the cross. The old man is shown up for all that he is. Sin! A great exposition and demonstration of sin. And that's what God thinks of it. And that's what God's done to it. And glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And here's the mystery and the miracle. The one bearing all the sin of the world in his own body, was being made, if you like, by the glory of God into that man of sin for us, yet he was able to offer a pure spiritual sacrifice to God. Amen. The glory, here's the miracle, here's the mystery, here's the wonder in all. Come, let us all worship and adore here. Here is the master miracle and the mystery of the ages. possess him. Jesus couldn't die, and before he could, he had to have an anointing to do it. Couldn't die, he wasn't a sinner. Only the soul that sinneth must die. He couldn't die. Wasn't possible. If he hadn't voluntarily taken sin, he'd be walking about in our midst this morning. Hallelujah. And he is here in spirit. Praise him. Only the soul that sinneth dies. Hallelujah. Glory. And so he had to be anointed with a special anointing to die from God. Amen. He had this last authorization from God to go and be made into sin. He didn't do it without. He pleaded not to have to drink the cup when it came to it, if possible. But praise his glorious name. He said, "Your will, Father, thy will." She's come before to anoint me. God sent her to anoint me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And isn't it a wonder that it was a woman that anointed him? Because he was the seed of the woman. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. And woman made compensation. And woman also had to see the folly of her first act in doing the thing that she did. And it was a woman that anointed him, and she didn't know that she was anointing him, not anointing him for the death of her own seed. She didn't know, but glory be to God, he turns the table on all the witchery of the devil. He's had it recorded, beloved, that the sweet savour of it should arise in our nostrils this morning, that God makes everything work together for good to them that love him. Hallelujah. There's no doubt about it, Mary loved him. Hallelujah. And what a tremendous truth this is, beloved. He offered himself without spots to God, and glory be to God. If someone can take all sin and still come through spotless, then, beloved, there's hope for every other man that's been a sinner. We can. No, we must have our sin rent off us. We must have our nature rent. We must have our heart broken. We must have our spirit dissociated from it. Hallelujah. This is God's great way. Amen. Would God that the anointing unto death was on someone this morning. Praise God. Gateway to life and death. Here the living water welling. Here the rock now smitten. There it is. This is the great truth, beloved. He was made sin for us. Our old man was crucified with him. Hallelujah. Our old man. That we should know that the body of sin, that is sin in total, glory, in its completeness. Hallelujah. Sin working out to its last end. Praise God. And then God got on it, and he worked on it to his last end. And that was it. He crucified it. He had it buried. He rose again. Glory be to his wonderful and precious name. And so we come into the Corinthian letter. And in the Corinthian letter, in the 10th chapter, we read these tremendous words. 15. Now you're all to be judges if you're wise. Are you all wise this morning? Look up. Or are we all a lot of fools here? Now, I don't want to say I'm a fool for Christ's sake, because I am there. Are we all wise men? Judge. Verse 15. Judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. In this chapter, in this book, sadly enough, there has been a different communion of bodies, a wicked and a sinful one. In the sixth chapter, the middle of verse 13, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Listen, your bodies, not your minds, not your spirits, not your souls, not your ethos. Your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God's going to raise us up. Understand? He's going to raise up these bodies. They're going to be changed bodies, but they're going to be raised up. And these people have got into the wrong form of communication in their body, these Christians. There is a way that we can communicate. There is a way, beloved, that we can become really intimate with one another, spiritually. 1 Corinthians 10. We read it. Judge what I say. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And this is the way the body of Christ becomes intimate and accentuates its oneness in spirit. And this is one of the most vital things about the Lord's table, as we call it. It is the God-given method where we may all whereby we may all commune as being members of the body of Christ, where there is neither male nor female, and having also drunk into the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are in that great inward circulation of absolute purity, where we know one another and we enter into one another's hearts and lives and loves and respects and holinesses and purities and all the conferrings of the graces that God has given one to another. Judge what I say. This is that which God has given to take the place of the filthy and the low and the degraded. And understand it well. The bread which we break. It's not only that I commune with the Lord in this, wait a moment. It's that I commune with you in it, my brother, my sister. This is the point that's been lost. Losing this, we can manufacture all kinds of synthetic and erroneous ideas in our minds. Losing this, beloved, we nearly lose all. I break the bread. Let's go back to John chapter 6. You see, are you trying to make something of the bread and the wine? No, nothing. I'm trying to make nothing of them. I'm trying to make something of your spiritual state and understanding. In the 11th chapter, Paul deals with the other side. In the 10th chapter, he's on this. If we go back to the 6th chapter of John, we read some wonderful words. And you know it's the story of the Passover. It's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and his disciples to them that were set down, and so on. And he goes right on, and in verse 23, they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. Praise his name. Some of us perhaps will remember, we've looked into this thing before, seen the wonder of it. When the Lord got that loaf in his hand, he said, "Thank you, Father, I've got something now to show them." He gave thanks. Not that there was a lad there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Praise God. That was ordained of God. "Thank you, Father." And he took it and broke it. I would advise you to go to communion services where you break the bread, not have it in little cubes. I would advise you. It has a lesson. It's not terribly important. You won't go to hell or be out if you don't do it. That's what I would advise you to do. God, beloved, in the very, very few and sinful ordinations, they have a significance. That's why it's baptism by immersion, because it speaks of being buried. That's why the bread should be broken. The bread which we break. Listen, beloved, it is that I break this bread, and if you like, I am saying I make my contribution to you, my brother, my sister. I break myself in this one loaf in Christ. That you may come and commune with my pure spirit. I have no lust, I have no sin, I have no evil desires toward you. I am as pure as Christ is pure toward you in my love. I honor your body, and I exalt you to the highest. I'll wash your feet, and I'll love you unto a cross. That's what I say. Do you do that when you come to communion, or have you got some brethren ideas about it, or Church of England ideas about it, or holiness, or Pentecostal ideas about it? Do you really discern this body of the Lord? It is we who are the body of the Lord now. We. It is the church which is his body. I know we do it in remembrance of him. And what do I remember? That he took the bread and he ripped it up. He gave it out, and on the cross he hung whilst he was broken and rent for us. And I come and I do the same. Take. Eat. Jesus said, "It's my body." Beloved, I'd love to think. I've got no heretical or erroneous ideas here. That Jesus Christ could give me to you, and it be bread to you. Not to take the place of that great bread, but to be incorporated in. I'm part of it. I swear to you that if you eat my Jesus, you eat me. That's what the communion of the church is supposed to be. It isn't just a memory of a sacred act years ago only. It isn't just to remember the Lord Jesus in his sovereign and unique glory as God. It is also to discern this, my brother, that if I'm going to commune to you, with you, I'm going to commune on the ground of a Savior agonizing and dying, paying the price of sin. I can't go sinning with you. I can't go doing anything with you. I can't do that. How dare I? I have the seed of God in me. I make it on the ground that his blood, his precious blood, dropped out. That glorious blood of redemption from heaven, that though all the sinners in hell and all the needs of men that ever breathed on this earth were all gathered together in one great sob and cry, though we made 1,000,000 worlds and gave 1,000,000,000 races, we couldn't get blood like this anywhere but from heaven. God came and gave it to us. Bless him. And I will commune with you on this ground, and how can I sin with you? Or how can I sin against you? How can I lift my tongue to say one word of criticism? How could I raise a murmur? How could I say anything else but I love you and let me die for you? That's what John said. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what God wants. What do you want? Judge ye what I say. For the thing I say will judge you. Not that I am your judge, but the way you respond to or react against the word of God will pass judgment on yourself. Read Acts 13 very carefully, where Paul makes that very plain. Not now. Here's the wonder and the glory of this precious, precious truth that God has given unto us. Do you discern the body of Jesus Christ? Do you? I look at you. I look at you. And your actual body is a member of Christ. Your actual body is a member of Christ. We really. Said, oh, this is just a sort of a spiritual communion. I want to tell you it's a bodily communion too. Your body. That's why you've got to have your bodies washed with pure water. That's why, beloved, we've got to be able to do these great things in that marvelous hereafter that Jesus said when he spoke to the disciples in that upper room. We're in the hereafter. We're not in what went before that. We're in the hereafter that came down in the glory of the Spirit. A new creation, a kingdom of God came down on the earth. And they saw it come with power. And it was power and it purged them pure, whiter than the snows that lay on the Himalayas. Hallelujah. Purged them pure. Glory. Oh, they lived and they loved. And when they got into sin, Paul wrote to them and he said, don't you know? When you come together, you come to commune in every realm, bodily, mentally, spiritually. Think of me, I didn't offer just a spirit to you, I came and gave a body. I didn't come and give you just words, I gave you blood. I didn't just come and talk highfalutin stuff, I poured out my soul. I came and I gave all my spirit. I slew that old man, I bore all your sins.
and sin if you want, and sin if you dare. But as for me, I must have you pure and holy unto God. Oh, praise Him. I wish someone had preached these things to me when I was 20. Hallelujah. And so we go into this wonderful 11th chapter. I want to announce to you, listen to it, sometime Friday, by the grace of God, we're going to commune. Morning or evening, we're going to break the bread and drink the wine together. We're going to have a real wine this time, by the Lord's grace. Amen. Glory be to God. This conference shall not close unless Jesus comes. Without we do it. We're going in the right order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Baptism on Thursday. Communion Friday. That satisfied your Anglican faith, brother. Glory! Amen. And in this glorious 1 Corinthians 11, it says this, verse 23, I have received of the Lord, this God, this is Revelation, I have received of the Lord, and I want to tell you I have too. I received of the Lord what I've delivered to you this morning. That which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, glory, apparently whenever he got bread in his hands, he gave thanks, because he couldn't break it. He didn't say grace, that's not what we're talking about. He didn't sing his banner over me as love. He gave thanks. He knew he was going to supply God with the only bread that he would eat, he could eat. That when he broke himself on the cross, it would make food and bread eternal for the living spirit that reigned on that throne. And he thanked God for Calvary, and he thanked God for his breaking, and he thanked God for his rending, and he thanked God for his sacrificing. He thanked God, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Go on, you do that on Friday, you thank God. Let your shouts of thanks and praise rise to God. Rent all open. If you can't break yourself so that I can look inside, you've got something in there you don't want me to see. Go and get cleansed. You've got nothing in there that's worth anything to me, not eternally, as much as I may value the thought I have of you. Unless you can break right open, glory, hallelujah. Here I am, brother, sister. Pure as Jesus can make me. Eat me. Say, what? I've come to eat Jesus. That's right. But you can't eat Jesus without eating. I'm part of it. I didn't die for you. I didn't atone for you. I didn't redeem you. I can't justify you. I can't regenerate you. I'd like to be some edification to you. Some food that will build you up. I want you to be able to commune with my pure spirit. I'm not going to stand up at the Lord's time and say, Lord, all my righteousnesses have been filthy rags for another week. Please cleanse me. Make me decent to sit at your table and all that sort of nonsense. It's like that refutation of Wesley's where he said, nor sin in thought, nor word, nor deed. Amen. This sort of traditional thing that's come up through the churches, God save us from it. Put us there on that level where we know we're in New Jerusalem. For if ever there was an upper room, it's that one. It's right up there.
And we sit there and we commune in the presence of our great God, sitting there with a lamb in his bosom, all broken, and he's feeding on him. He's feeding on him.
He's hung on that cross, beloved.
When he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." For as often, after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever," this is why the solemnity of the warning is there, "shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." I'm on the body. Shall be guilty of the body of Jesus. Guilty of him. My beloved brothers and sisters, if you read through your Acts of the Apostles and you get to chapter 5, you will find that terror was struck into the hearts of men who realized that they were being made guilty of the blood of Jesus. They said to those early apostles, they said, "You're intending to bring this man's blood upon us." They were frightened to death. Crucify them, stone them, lock them up, beat them, stop them. Guilty of the body of the Lord. Will you break that body and make it sin again? Will you make it into a sin feast? I'll break it worthily, Lord. I'll break it worthily. I'll break it worthily. Praise God. What is this worthily? A word I've already gone through. I don't want to have to do it again. You and I have got to move in here. We've got to be able to discern the body of the Lord. I go into the 12th chapter and I read this. Verse 12, "The body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. And when you sin against another believer's body, whether it be in fornication, or whether it be in punching, bruising, kicking, ill-using, abusing, starving them, perhaps when they want some food, don't say, 'The Lord bless you, brother, be warmed and fed, and don't open your own bowels of compassion,' you're a hypocrite. You're starving Christ, and if you do that, you do this, beloved, you're sinning actually against Jesus Christ, as though you've committed fornication with Christ. It's as though you've beaten Christ. The body is the member of Christ. I'm praising God that's in the scripture. We get all highfalutin and want to make it all spiritual and mental. Oh, this will make me treasure you, my brother. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I want to see you healed. That's why I want to see the devil out. That's why I want to see the sickness gone. That's why I want to see all these furrows ironed out of your forehead. That's why, beloved, I want to see your old hairs grow white and honorable in the way of righteousness. Don't dye them, you ladies. Don't dye them. Let them see appear. The hoary head and the white hairs are honorable if they be found in the way of righteousness. Some say the dyed hair. Hallelujah. Nor yet tinted. Think more of God and what he thinks of you than what that man does or that woman. Think more of what Jesus wants. Sometimes it near breaks my heart, I go around not wanting to think what Jesus wants. They want to carry on in forms of worship of their own. They say, oh, well, you'll understand us. And nobody's caring that Jesus wants to make a body where every member is free to minister. Nobody gets up. They say, oh, let's presume upon his sanctions. Let's presume upon his love. He'll understand. Well, it's what Jesus wants we're here to create. Beloved, it's what he wants. If everybody saw it, hallelujah, wouldn't have any of these papers that we're having. If everybody loved Jesus. If Jesus wants you to be speaking in tongues, well, glory, that's the thing to do. If he wants you, sit down while a chap up there who's paid to do the job does something. This is all wrong, nobody. I say, oh, well, God, understand, he doesn't care about our forms of worship. I want to tell you that Jesus does care. The pattern's here. Let's have what Jesus wants. God forgive me for the years I carried on along the old permissive line. Of course he permits things. But what do you want, Lord? And here's Jesus' excellence. He says, I always do the thing that please him. That's right. The body's one. We're all members of that one body. Blessed. The new man's body too. Oh, glory. Well, I'd better start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. It's a bit late, isn't it? What time's lunch, John? When we're ready? Well, there's a clock up there. Oh, thank you. You've got to discern the Lord's life. Now, you've not only got to discern the Lord's body as a sort of nice, sanctified believer, but the Lord's body like this. Here it is. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Faith. Healing. Miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, tongues, and listen, different kinds of them, not English, or Welsh, or Irish, different kinds of tongues. About time you had a change, I think. Interpretation of tongues, you discern the Lord's body then? Don't you discern this is the Lord's body? This is the whole body of miraculous abilities whereby he performs his wondrous works amongst men, to act, or to speak, or to think. For discernment of spirit is God thinking. The Spirit, and he's revealing what it is. Amen. This is God's understanding working. I can see a difference that you can't see. It's called a gift of discernment. Do you see? Simple, isn't it? Don't you discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can't you discern him? I can see him as plainly as he is. In fact, I see him most plainly here. This is the most plain way I see him. I tell you, listen, when God came in the household of Cornelius, they all began to speak in tongues, and that was the plain way they saw him.
They said, oh, yeah, well, God's come. It's obvious. The Holy Ghost's here. Now, if you read Acts 10, they discerned Jesus. That's it. He was there.
Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's it.
Immediately. No messing around here.
He's here. He's come. Just the same as he was with us. Just what he did with us, they said. It's Jesus. Everybody starts fighting and throwing the Bible at one another's head about it.
Well, according to which side of the fence you might be on. If we'd only be simple, if we'd only be honest, if we'd only come out of our little castles we build around ourselves to protect our own inadequacy or unwillingness or unbelief, we'd only come all out there and stop the doctrinal nonsense and let the Lord Jesus come on us and just let's meet and all commune and say, look, I'm Jesus. Well, that's a tremendous thing. That's what he said. That's what he said in connection with this great communion. Here it is, John chapter 13. Now, I'm right wound up. I'm not likely to stop. I'd have to stop after this, I think, in John chapter 30. The stream's flowing so fast. We're on Revelation. It's flowing from right under the throne. I don't need the book of Revelation. It's coming. It has been for some while, but I'm trying to keep up with it. I should have to stop in a minute. In John chapter 30, here's the proof. In connection with this great breaking of bread, this great drinking of the wine, this is what he said. 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. There you are. Peter, I'm going up. Now, who's going to love John? When I thought, no, you would have been me to John, you'd have loved him. Who's going to love old Matthew and Thaddeus? And who's going to do that? Who's going to love Peter after he's denied Jesus? Hey, who's going to love Peter? So John says, come on, you come at me. Yeah, that's right. John and Peter are together in the resurrection. Oh, I could preach to you about that. The love of this great man. It wasn't just a matter of lying, laying his head on Jesus' breast and all outward show. He loved all Peter. You've loved me. You've denied him. I know. Peter's terrible tears. A broken and a contrite heart. A smashed up spirit. And old John, in his measure, before Pentecost, of course, he was completely inadequate. But his intentions were right. He went and put his arm around her and said, you come with me, Peter. Come on, Pete. You are to be Jesus to one another. You are to love one another as I have loved you. That's in connection with communion. Did Jesus love me to fornicate with me? Did Jesus love me to hurt me? Did Jesus love me to think sinful and unclean thoughts about me? Did Jesus think of just my physical shape and form, or whether I was ugly or pretty or handsome or got a face like a... Doesn't matter about it. Did he? Then don't you! Love one another. Be Jesus to me. You'll get all I have and have then, because I want to give it to Jesus. Be Jesus to me. Now, mark you, I know Jesus very well, so you won't deceive me, but nevertheless I'll love you just to say, oh, I'll try. I think I'll manage. You're all lovely, really. No difficulty. Now we are discerning this great body of Christ. There's some people think it only means to get healed, see, when they come to a communion table, something like that. It's far greater than a denominational squint.
May the Lord bring us in, that we may enter into this great fullness, this largeness of vision, this heart as large as the seas. Amen. This love of God, this pure flowing. Let's pray.